Just while I'm up here and have the mic, it's Verna's birthday today. I just whisper that quietly. I don't know whether Dave's in a suit out of respect for his wife's birthday or because he's dressing in period, but it works both ways. It's a good day today. It's really a wonderful day just to feel the buzz. Everybody walks in, there was this laughter. I don't know whether you're laughing at the suits and the hats, but nevertheless, whatever it took, you certainly walked in with a spirit of joy and of laughter this morning, and that was wonderful. And it is a good day. It's a good month. It's a good month of celebration as we think about God's faithfulness to us over the past 60 years. 60 years is a long time. It is a long time, I think it was Jan said just now that some of us weren't even born. Well, I can't even say some of us anymore. Some of you weren't even born. Oh dear. This is not good. This is not good. But God has been faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this morning I want us to look back and just see some of his faithfulness and just see where we go from here. Next week I want us to look forward. And then as Mark has already pointed out, the third week, it will just be an opportunity to celebrate him and to share him with our community. And so if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua 24, and we're just going to read the first 15 verses. I think it's the 15 verses. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. Now he's done this because the people are now in the land. They've been through all the battles and they've taken the land. They're in the land. And he now assembles them all. And he summons the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." And he's now telling the story. He's saying, "This is what the Lord of Israel says." And he's talking in the first person as though God himself were speaking to them. "Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I," says God, "I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the mountains of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. But when I brought your forefathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried out to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, and so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not go in with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you lived in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Just so far, as we just get the picture of what is happening in this particular text. I remember when I was a personnel manager in my previous job before I came into the ministry, part of that job involved recruitment. And I remember that recruitment wasn't really the favorite part of being a personnel manager, but I remember doing it. I remember sitting down with the manager who was looking for staff, and we would draw up a job description, what the job entailed, and a person specification, the kind of person that was needed for that job. And we would agree on a package for that position, and then I would advertise for the position. The CVs would be sent in, and of course many would be rejected at that point as being unsuitable. But if someone looked good on paper, the next step was for me to invite them in for an interview. And once more, some would fall by the wayside because they looked good on paper, but they didn't look good in the interview context. But gradually, I would whittle it down until I was left with a few whom I felt had potential for the job. Now, how might I know if those people would be successful in the job? Well, it's not an exact science, but oftentimes past performance is a good indicator of what we can expect in the future. Often past performance is an indicator of what we can expect in the future. And so I would do thorough reference checks. I would listen to what the previous employers said about that person. Plus, I would listen to what they didn't say. And I would ask the right questions, and I would ask for more specific information. And when, based on the past performance, according to the reference, I was reasonably sure that the candidate would perform similarly in the future, then only would I arrange an interview with the manager. Now, the point of that story is this. The most reliable indicator of past performance is, sorry, the most reliable indicator of future performance is past performance. And I want you to keep that in mind as we go to Joshua. A long time later, after God had given Israel rest from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was an old man, Joshua called all Israel together, elders, chiefs, judges, and officers, and then he spoke to them. And here's the picture. Joshua is old. Joshua has completed his task. The people are now in the promised land. Joshua knows that he himself does not have a long time to live. But Joshua knows that for Israel, they've got a long future ahead of them. He has done his bit of bringing them there. He's about to fall by the wayside, but they still have things to do. Getting to the promised land was not an end in itself. Getting to the promised land was simply another landmark. It was simply another point in their journey to accomplish what God had purposed for them to do. Joshua knows that. And Joshua also knows that it will be easy for the Israelites to kind of sit back and to rest on their laurels. Afterwards, they were now in the land that God had promised them. What more was there to do? This is an arrival for them. But if they did that, they would fail to accomplish what God had purposed for them. And so Joshua calls the nation together. He wants to inspire them for the future, a future mapped out by God himself. A future of which God promises to be part. God promises to be part of that future to help them accomplish what he has in mind for them. And Joshua wants to inspire them for the future. But what I want to highlight this morning is this. In order to inspire them for the future, he starts by looking back. He looks back at their history, which he will show to be literally his story. What happened in their past was literally God unfolding his story through the Israelites. And Joshua talks to the Israelites. He talks to them about their history. He talks to them, as I pointed out, as though he were God speaking, that these were God's words to them. And as you read that history in verses 2 to 13, you'll find the personal pronoun I used more than a dozen times. Their story is God's story. The shape of our history is determined by God's prior and ongoing activity on our behalf. They are a nation because God took the initiative, and they have remained a people because God has continued with them. And so God reminds them of their history, and he starts by telling them that I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river. I did that. Problem was, Sarah was unable to have children. So God says, I gave him Isaac. And we read there that Isaac had Jacob, and how Jacob ended up in Egypt, and ultimately in slavery in Egypt. And then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. God performed miracles to get them from slavery, but they ended up wandering in the desert. And so he says, but you lived in the desert a long time. They then faced dangers and enemies in the desert, yet they fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. Then at last they come to the place when they stand at the edge of the promised land. And we read, then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the Jericho leaders ganged up on you, as well as the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. But I gave them over to you. God literally fought for them. I did your work for you. You didn't have to do a thing, not so much as raise a finger. And God continues, I handed you a land for which you did not work, towns you did not build, and here you are now living in them and eating from vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And there, in just 12 verses, we have a quick overview of the history. And all along, God is making the point, you are where you are because I am who I am. You are where you are because I am who I am. I was the one who was there. I worked out my story through you. Joshua calls the Israelites together because it was an appropriate time for them to remember. It was an appropriate time for them to look back. And we ask, well, why was it an appropriate time to remember? Well, we've seen already that Joshua was coming to the end of his life. That makes it an appropriate time to remember. We've seen that they've conquered the land. That makes it an appropriate time to remember. But here comes the big one. Because the context in which they were living was changing. The context in which they were living was changing. Sorry, this thing is just not doing what it should be doing. The context in which they were living was changing. They had been nomads. They had been putting their tents down and moving and putting their tents down and moving. Now they were going to be a settled people. They were going to be settling in the land. Therefore, they were going to be living in a new context with different challenges to face. And Joshua is inspiring them for the future by reminding them of the past. God, who has been faithful in the past, God who has worked out his story through you in the past, God will continue to work out his story through you in the future. And the thing about that little story I told at the beginning, the most reliable indicator of future performance is in fact past performance. I can't stop doing this because I've got so many photographs up there just now that you've just got to have this PowerPoint presentation. The most reliable indicator of future performance is past performance. It's coming. There we are. We're using a different pointer here. Maybe one with more vuma. Well, let's see whether it's got some more vuma. All right, we'll see. Okay. Is this old one? Let's see what happens. Okay, well, I shouldn't be there, but we are there. Okay, try some more batteries. Sorry. So we can look forward to the future with confidence because we believe and trust that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then God brings them to the place of choice. Cora, if you can just hit the little down arrow, bring them to the place of choice. There we are. So now, fear the Lord, worship Him in total commitment, choose and do it today. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. This month, we are celebrating the 60th anniversary of Durban North Baptist Church. And this makes it an appropriate time to remember, an appropriate time to remember our past. It's an appropriate time to remember God's faithfulness. It's an appropriate time to remember that we are here today because we are able to stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. And so we look at our history, and our first pastor here was the Reverend Keith Reed. He wrote to us. He's still alive. He would love to be here, but physical frailty keeps him in Port Elizabeth. And in the letter that he wrote, he sent a touching story of the Lord's provision for the original church building that we had here. He tells that every Thursday, the church used to get down on its knees to pray that there would be funds for the builders to pay them on Friday. And every Friday, there was money to pay them. But he says that there were many different ways that God used to provide for this church. And one of the different ways was really a touching way. Pastor William Duma was the pastor of the Umgeni Baptist Church, and he was a good friend of Durban North Baptist. And one day he phoned Keith Reed and says, "I'd like to bring somebody who wants to see you." And Pastor Duma arrived with this little old Zulu granny about this big, he says. And she said that the Lord had told her to contribute to the building. And out of the folds of her dress, she pulled out this little piece of cloth and she opened this cloth. And there in the middle of the cloth was a shiny half a crown. Now you've got to be old to know what a half a crown is. It's, we call it 2 and 6, which in today's terms we would say it's 25 cents, which of course is worth more than 25 cents, but it was still a lot of money for her in those days. And as Keith said, that was truly a widow's mite. And the woman said, "God told me it's for this church." Pastor Duma told Keith that was in fact all she had. It was a widow's mite. And he says in his letter to us, he says, "It was the greatest gift we receive towards the cost of building the church." Those are the kinds of people on whose foundation we build whom God used in the unfolding of His story. Now, Durban North Baptist was originally the vision of Lambert Road Baptist Church, and the first services were held in the home of Mr. and Mrs. Alex Davies. Ollie Davies is the son. He's still with us. The stone laying ceremony, if every time I point this, if you could just hit the down button for me, Coral. Okay. But only when I point this. Okay. The stone laying ceremony for the building, the original building, was held on Saturday, the 7th of February, 1953, at 3 o'clock. Keith Reed was there. He preached at it. And of course, you've seen that photograph because that's a photograph that inspired us to make you to wear hats today and suits, because that's how they dressed 60 years ago. Keith Reed was called away to the Troyville Baptist Church, and his successor was the Reverend Merrill Stern. Now, Merrill was there for 5 years, and then he was called away to the mission field. And then Reverend Dr. John Porter followed Mr. Stern. I also know Dr. John because he was my pastor at Kloof Baptist when we were there. During this time, the church grew, and there was need for an educational block. And this was built and completed on the 10th of June, 1967, and that is what is the hall out there now. Dr. Porter was called away to the Salisbury Central Baptist Church, and Reverend Anton Hoffman was inducted into the ministry in 1969. He unfortunately couldn't be here, but he has written to us, and he told a story from his ministry here, another amazing story. He tells how he had a busy week of preparing and seeing people, and he spent the Friday night with the youth, and he got home that night and he was exhausted. He just wanted to put his feet up and clock out. But his wife said somebody had phoned and they needed to see him. And so, not that he was reluctant to do ministry, but he was reluctant because he was so tired, yet nevertheless he went to see this family. The caller was Dutch Reformed, his wife was Catholic, and the Jehovah's Witnesses had been there leading them in Bible study. It was a confused family. But rather than sort out their theology to start with, what he did was quote John chapter 1 verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It turns out that nobody had ever explained to this family that they needed Jesus. And he said to them, if you would receive Jesus, you can then start and sort out your theology later. He explained the gospel to them and asked who wanted to receive Jesus. And to his absolute surprise, the mom and the dad and the four kids all got down on their knees and confessed their sins and received salvation. Later, they told Anton that they had set a condition to the Lord. They said to the Lord, if the Baptist pastor did not come on the same night, they would take it as a sign that they were to continue studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses. We stand on the shoulders of people like that. Space was again at a premium insofar as Sunday school was concerned. The church therefore took the decision to build the hall. And this was opened during 1969 and was called the Alex Davies Hall. And apparently there used to be a big sign on there which said the Alex Davies Hall. Anton was here until 1972 and then he was succeeded by the Reverend Ron Nordier. And of course I know Ron because I worked with him at Northcliffe for a couple of years as well. So Ron and I go back a while. Ron served here for 4 years, and in 1976 he was succeeded by the Reverend Lee Robinson during July of 1978. And Lee served in this church until 1984. During his time, the Reverend Gavin Sklarczyk joined the pastoral team, and Gavin was the youth pastor. During Lee's time, the preschool started, Morning Star. Durban North Baptist during that time became the mother church of the Umhlanga Rocks Baptist Church. The Umhlanga Rocks Baptist Church was constituted during August 1981. During Lee's time, it was a time when missionaries were sent out from this church to work among the Muslims, to work among the Maasai people in Kenya. And it was a really sad day when Lee was called away because Lee had grown up in this church. And in his congratulatory letter, he speaks of the people and former pastors of this church who had nurtured him. And it was also from Durban North Baptist Church that Lee was called into the full-time pastoral ministry. And Lee wrote and he says that when he thinks about his home church, it's Durban North Baptist he thinks of. And today we stand on the shoulders of people like Lee. Reverend Errol Wagner succeeded Lee. He was inducted during September 1985. In 1987, Morning Star Preschool had an enrollment of 90 children. But it was not only the preschool that was bursting at its seams, so was the church building. That was the original church building, and you can see through there, you can see the hall and that was built there. That was the first church. That was bursting at its seams, couldn't hold any more people. And so they decided to build a new church. But before you build a new church, you've got to break down the old one. And that is what happened. And of course, we've got inquisitive people in our congregation, and here are some familiar faces of people who are there to inspect the church. I had to put that one in for Jane. And there's some more familiar faces inspecting the church. I had to put that one there for Graham. And there's some more familiar faces inspecting the church. Nathan, as a young man, standing, looking through the bars of the fence. Folk, this was built by the people of this church during Errol's time. Errol was there at the opening of the church, and there is a, I don't know how many years service you'd had when you were there, Clive, but that is Clive, as well as Errol at the opening. And the foundation stone was laid. Reverend Keith Reed, the original pastor, was there to lay the foundation stone, and it's just outside there if you want to go and see the foundation stone. And all this happened during 1988. Durrell's time, he also started an extension of the Baptist Theological College. Morning Star reached an enrollment of 100, and during 1996, the enrollment was 113 with 5 teachers. Chris Wood, who was studying theology, joined the church as part-time youth pastor. And of course, Chris is the one who will be preaching next Sunday night in our radical youth service. Look, I don't want that word radical to put people who are older than 20 off. You've all got to be here, by the way. And Chris is the moderating influence because he's not 20 anymore. So he will bring a moderating influence to it. So please come next Sunday evening. But then Errol was called to the George Baptist Church. And I want to say we stand on the shoulders of people like Errol. Reverend Dennis Husted was then inducted to the pastorate during 1997. And he was here until 2001. And after that, we get into real recent history. Reverend Stuart Craner was invited to take over. And he joined this church in 2003. And he, of course, is my predecessor. Stuart had the pleasure the next year of presiding over the Golden Jubilee 10 years ago, the 50th birthday of the church. And ministries like ATAP and the Coffee Corner were birthed during Stuart's tenure. And the ministries down there started and stand on the shoulders of the pioneers who had gone before and who had taken that vision and have all played their part in getting it to where it is now. We have the Chillax room, which doesn't look like that at the moment, but the idea was a good one and still is and has been used. We still have the holiday care operating down there. We still have the homework center operating down there. And of course, we still have the Coffee Corner, which is down there and part of the ministry of the church. And today we stand on shoulders of people like Stuart. Now, that is just a very quick overview of our history. And I know there's lots of other stories that can be told. But here's the point. We are here today because of faithful people who have gone before us. And more importantly, we are here today because God was able to work out His story through those who have gone before us. For 60 years, this church has been faithful to God, who established it way back in 1954. For 60 years, God has been working out His story through the Durban North Baptist Church. But like Israel in Joshua's time, we haven't arrived at just another place. Neither have we arrived at a place where it's okay, we have arrived now, we can sit back on our laurels. No, we are standing on the brink of our future. And I want you to know it's a future that has to look different from the past. I mean, you've had a visual today of how things are different from how they were when the church started. Ladies no longer wear hats. Men no longer wear suits. Preachers no longer wear gowns. And if my wife hadn't threatened me with all sorts of things, I would have worn a dog collar today. She didn't want that for some reason. More than that, the songs we sing, the music people listen today has changed. The way we communicate with each other is changed. Remember back in the early days, you had this big black Bakelite thing on the entrance hall, and you had to go krrch, krrch, every time you phoned? Today you sit and you tweet and you WhatsApp and you SMS and you have selfies and all this kind of thing. Of course, don't do selfies. Why would I? Actually, I do, but that's it for my children, okay? Just so they don't forget the old face, you know. It's changed. The way we communicate has changed. The songs we sing have changed. The world view of the people amongst whom we work has shifted. And what worked in the past will not work today. And we as a church have discussed this. And we as a church have agreed that change must take place. And indeed, we are changing. And so, like Joshua, I want to inspire you for the future. Our future will be different. Our future will be different. But God isn't. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have an unchanging gospel. It's unchanging. The good news hasn't changed. Intimacy with God the Father is still possible through Jesus Christ the Son. That remains the good news. We have to package the unchanging gospel differently and the way in a way that is relevant to our community, and we are doing that. God is still able to allow His story to unfold through us. He has done it for 60 years. He is still doing it today. And as we stay close to God, God will continue unfolding His story through us. Which brings us to the same challenge that Joshua brought the children of Israel to. Here is the challenge. So now, fear the Lord. Worship Him in total commitment. Choose. And do it today. As for me and my family, we'll serve the Lord. That's the challenge. That's the place to which we have come. Are you a member of this church? Are you a friend of this church? One who attends here regularly? I know that we've got folk here who no longer can be part of this church because they've moved away or whatever. But for those of us who are here, won't you use today as an opportunity to recommit yourself to allowing God to unfold His story through you, and therefore to allow Him to continue to unfold His story through the church as He has done for 60 years? Won't you, with Joshua, say, as for me and my family, we'll serve the Lord. And as long as I am in this area, I will do it through the Durban North Baptist Church. Are you willing to say that? Are you willing to make that commitment? I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm not expecting everybody to stand because not everybody can make that commitment because you're not here. But for those of you who are here and are able to, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as a sign of that commitment as we pray. Heavenly Father, it's with great humility and humbleness that we recognize this morning that we are here because of You. That this is Your story being unfolded. And that we get to be part of it. We get to be part of that story. And Lord, as we are reminded of people who in the past have been faithful, Lord, we recognize that we are it. Lord, if we stop, then You will no longer be able to unfold Your story. We do recognize that if we stop, You will find people who are faithful. But Lord, we want to continue having the pleasure and the privilege of being those through whom You work out Your story in this particular area of Durban North. And so, Lord, we know that we make this commitment haltingly. We make it feeling insecure because we know how fickle we are. But we do it believing in our God who is able. Our God who is able to take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and multiply it to feed the multitudes. Take, Lord, take our 5 loaves and 2 fish worth of commitment this morning. We give them to You and say, Lord, won't You use us to continue telling people who do not yet know it that You love them here in the Durban North area. We give ourselves to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing together. Let's all stand together and sing together.
Thank you so much for being here with us this morning to help us celebrate this amazing milestone. Thank you for those who felt able to make that commitment. God, help each one of us to follow through on it. Please join us for tea, not just tea because we're celebrating, but tea for Mother's Day as well. It's also to celebrate Mother's Day that we're having the special tea. Please join us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. We believe you have been with us. We believe that you have smiled on us today. And Lord Jesus, as we leave this place, we pray that we would have a sense of your presence, that we would know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Know that we are loved with an everlasting love. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.